We're to love not because they are necessarily wonderful people, and they're probably not, but because they are children of God as well. We are all children of God. And we're to love them because our God loves them as well. Of course, God does not love what they do, just like He doesn't love some of the stuff we do sometimes. But God loves them nonetheless. Everyone. Why should we love our enemies? Jesus says He gives His best. The sun to warm, the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless of the good and bad, the nice and nasty. Doesn't the sunshine fall on the evil person as well as the good, righteous person? Doesn't the rain fall on the righteous as well as the unrighteous? Doesn't God cause the food to grow and the air to breathe and all of that for the unlovable as well as the lovable? These are hard teachings, folks. God provides to all regardless, because all of us are created in the image of God. Not the visible image, not the physical image, because there is none, but with the potential of loving as God loves. All of us have that potential within us. Jesus said, if all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner can do that. This is an easy kind of love. It's easy to love those people that are friends, and it's easy to love those people that are lovable and are kind and nice, and if we wait for someone to speak to us before we say hello to them, strangers, you know, what kind of love is that? We are to welcome all people. We are to say hello and to greet people, whether they speak to us or not, just to be friendly and to be kind. We're to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us and stand up to danger with the word of God, the sword of the word of God. And then, as if this wasn't enough, oh gosh, if that wasn't enough to go the extra mile, to give them the shirt off your back, to turn the other cheek, and to love our enemies, guess what? He says, be perfect. Be perfect. Or as Peterson puts it, in a word, grow up. Your kingdom subjects, now live like it. Live out your God-given identity. Live generously and graciously towards others the way God lives towards you. We got to understand that perfection is not the same, doesn't have the same meaning in Scripture as it does in what we normally think of perfection. Perfection means error-free, mistake-free, never make a mistake, right? That's usually what we think of in perfection. That person is perfect or thinks they're perfect or whatever. It has nothing to do with picking up the wrong fork at the fancy restaurant as to which one's for the salad and which one's for the entree. It has nothing to do with that. What does Jesus mean when He says, be perfect? It means loving as God loves. It means seeing people as God sees them. It means being the person of God we are called to be, seeing through the eyes and lens of Jesus, the people and circumstances. To love as God loves, to see as God sees. To love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And oh, by the way, love our neighbor and enemy as ourselves. Is that possible in this life? Can we be perfect in this life? That's a good question, isn't it? John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, said, it is possible. It is possible because that's part of our sanctification. We are being sanctified as we go through this journey of faith. And on that sanctification, Wesley called it going on to perfection. But he also believed that perfection was possible in this life, though very, very rare. Very, very seldom do we love God with our whole heart, our soul, and our mind. But it is doable. It is possible. And to love our neighbor as ourselves. But then Wesley talked about full sanctification, which was true perfection, which is only attained, of course, when we enter glory. We enter the kingdom, the heavenly kingdom of God, for which we are striving for. This is a strange kind of love that Jesus is talking about. A love that goes beyond, the love that does the unexpected, the love that doesn't make any sense at all. And I found a video someone told me about this week in preparation for this message, which I think really exemplifies what we're talking about here in terms of God love, Jesus love. How many of you ever heard of Tony Campolo? Tony Campolo, he is a pastor. He's from the Philadelphia area. He's somewhat of a traveling evangelist, but he's also has a church. I can't think of the name of the church. He's been around for many, many years. I think he counseled Bill Clinton during his ordeal back in the late 90s. He's well known in the evangelical circles, and he's a fantastic speaker. And I found a YouTube clip of a story he told at a conference that he was at. And I'd just like for you to listen to this story and how... Well, just watch the story. You'll see for yourself. Go ahead and roll it.
I had to go on a speaking engagement to Honolulu. Hey, sometimes you get Chicago, sometimes you get Honolulu. You go to Honolulu, you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning if you're from the East Coast because of the time difference, and I was hungry. I went looking for something to eat up a side street. I found a greasy spoon. I went in. There were no booths, just a row of stools in front of the counter. I sat down. There was nobody in the place. I didn't touch the menu. It was one of those plastic menus, you know, and grease had piled up on it. I knew that if I opened the thing, something extraterrestrial would have crawled out. This fat guy with a greasy apron, unshaved, cigar comes out, puts the cigar down, and says, "What do you want?" I said, "A cup of coffee and a donut." He poured the coffee, and then he did this. And he picked up the donut. I hate that. So I'm sitting there, 3:30 in the morning, munching on my dirty donut. Went into this place, come about 10 or 11 prostitutes. And they sat on either side of me. And it was a small place. And I tried to disappear. The one next to me was especially boisterous, and she said to her friend, "Tomorrow's my birthday. I'm going to be 39. And her friend said, "So what do you want me to do? Sing happy birthday? So you're going to be 39. You want a cake? You want a party?" First woman said, "Look, I don't want anything. I'm just telling you it's my birthday. Why do you have to hurt my feelings?" And then she added, "I've never had a birthday party in my whole life. I don't expect to have one now." That did it. I waited until they left. And then I called Harry over. I said, "Do they come in here every night?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "The one right next to me." He said, "Agnes." I said, "It's her birthday tomorrow, Harry. What do you say we decorate this place? And when she comes in tomorrow night, we have a little party for her. She's never had a party in her whole life." He grabbed my hand and squeezed it and said, "Mister, that's beautiful, beautiful. Jane, come out here. This guy wants to throw a birthday party for Agnes. It's her birthday tomorrow." She came out and she said, "Oh, mister, that's brilliant. Nobody ever does anything for Agnes, and she's one of the good people in this town. I know what she does to make money, but she's a good person." I said, "Can I decorate the place?" She said, "To your heart's content." I said, "I'm going to bring a big birthday cake." Harry said, "Oh, no, the cake's my thing." Oh, jeez. So I got there the next morning at about 2:30. I bought this crepe paper at the Kmart. I strung it across the place. I made a big sign, "Happy birthday, Agnes." Put it on the mirror behind the counter. I had the place spruced. It was ready. Jan, who did the cooking, had gotten the word out on the street. By 3:15, every single prostitute in Honolulu was squeezed into this diner. It was wall-to-wall prostitutes. And me! 3:30 in the morning, the door opens. In comes Agnes and her friends. I've got everybody set, everybody ready. As they come to the door, we yell, "Happy birthday, Agnes!" and start cheering like mad. I've never seen anybody so stunned in my life. Her knees buckled. They steadied her. They got her down on a stool, and we started singing, "Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you." And they brought out the cake with the candles. That was it. She lost it and started to cry. Harry just stood there with the cake, with all the candles. Said, "Knock it off. Come on, Magnus, knock it off and blow out the candles. Come on, blow out the candles." She tried, but she couldn't do it, so he blew out the candles. He gave her the knife and said, "Now cut the cake. Come on now, cut the cake, Agnes, cut the cake." She sat for a long moment, and then she turned to me and she said, "Mister, I really don't want to cut the cake. Is it okay if I don't cut the cake?" I said, "It's your cake. It's your cake. You can do with it what you want." She said, "I want to take it home. I want to show it to my mother. Is that okay?" I said, "Sure." She stood up. I said, "Do you have to do it now?" She said, "I live two doors down. Let me take the cake to her. And I promise I'll bring it right back. I promise." She picked up the cake like it was the Holy Grail. And she pushed her way through the crowd and out the door. And as the door swung slowly shut, there was dead silence. You talk about an awkward silence. All of us were just standing there, stunned. I didn't know what to say, so I finally said, what do you say we pray? It's weird looking back on it now. A sociologist leading a prayer meeting with a bunch of prostitutes in a diner at 3:30 in the morning, it was the right thing to do. And I prayed that God would deliver her from what filthy men had done to her, probably starting when she was too young to even know what was going on. That's how these things start, you know. Some kid, 11, 12 years old, gets messed over by some filthy slob, and her self-image is destroyed, and she's ruined, and we blame her when we ought to be blaming him. And I prayed that God would make her new, because we're here to declare the good news that no matter where you've been or what you've done, Jesus can make you new. When I finished the prayer, Harry leaned across the counter and said, "Hey, Camp Paulo, you told us you were a sociologist. You're a preacher. What kind of church you preach in?" And in one of those moments, when you come up with just the right words, I said, I preach in a church that throws birthday parties for whores at 3:30 in the morning. I'll never forget his response. Never. He said, "No, you don't." "Nah, you don't." He said, "I would join a church like that." Wouldn't we all? Wouldn't we all love to belong to a church that threw birthday parties for whores at 3:30 in the morning? I got news for you. I got news for you. That is the kind of church that Jesus came to create. I don't know where we got this other one that's half country club. But Jesus came to create a people that would bring parties to those who have no parties, celebration into the lives of people who have nothing to celebrate. If all you've got to offer is a bowl of soup and some clothes, it's not enough. Jesus came and said, "I have come that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be full." And we've got to do more than just give them bread and clothes. We've got to bring love and joy into their lives.
Amen. That's what Jesus is trying to say to us today. Go beyond what's expected. Show extravagant love. Go the extra mile. And love the hell out of them. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the challenge that you have given us as your people. Lord, sometimes we get it right, but most of the time we don't. But Lord, we know that your grace is right there to sustain us and help us and to speak to us. To learn how to do ministry and to be in ministry with the people of this world. Lord, show us the way to go. Show us how to love as you love. Help us to see people as you see them and to be Christ to the world and for the world. Help transform us from the inside out. Transform our church. We don't want to be a country club church, Lord. We want to be the church of Jesus Christ, a church that has parties for prostitutes at 3 a.m. We thank you, Lord. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.